वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओके सो व्हाट आई एम गोइंग टू डिस्कस टुडे, बाय द वे हु इज लाइक फॉर फर्स्ट टाइम हियर, लाइक ऑल ऑफ यू आर इंट्रोड्यूस्ड टू कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस, ऑल ऑफ यू हैव बीन कमिंग? ओके फाइन, या फाइन, आई जस्ट वांटेड टू नो व्हाट लेवल आई हैव टू स्पीक। ओके सो व्हाट इज द एम ऑफ लाइफ, एंड दैट्स अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट क्वेश्चन, दैट्स द क्वेश्चन विच वी शुड बी थिंकिंग अबाउट। ऑल अदर क्वेश्चंस आर you might answer them or not, it doesn't matter, but if you don't answer this question, what is the aim of life, we are dead while living. That's where human life begins. So many devotees and many philosophers, they thought about this and they tried to answer this question, and previous to Lord Chaitanya, many other acharyas came. And they said, okay, aim of life is liberation. They said like that. But then Lord Chaitanya came and he told, no, the aim of life is love of God. But then Lord Chaitanya told, no, actually aim of life is not love of God. It's not. Because love of God is not the aim, it's a need of life. That was his unique contribution. So what's your aim of life? What's the aim of your day-to-day things? Your eating is your aim?
To return to God.
No, I mean to say, our aim is not to eat. No. Our aim is not to drink water. Similarly, if you say our aim is to have love of God, that's okay. But actually, that's a need of soul. You need it. And need is not the goal. Need is much more than the goal. And that is why Lord Chaitanya prayed, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarem, kavitam, vajagdish, kamae, mama janmane, janmaneshware, bhaftad, bhakti rahitu kitvai. We know all this verse. Lord Chaitanya prayed, oh my Lord, I don't want money, woman, wealth, scholarliness, prestige. I can have birth after birth, but I want love of God. Now, why does he say this? This is a very unique prayer. Because if you have thought about it, Srila Prabhupada says, we want to get out of birth and death. Everywhere. But Mahaprabhu says, no. I can have birth after birth. It doesn't matter. So there appears to be contradiction. Prabhupada always says, back to Godhead. That's our goal. We have to get out of the cycle of birth and death. And Chaitanya Prabhu said, no. Oh Krishna, I may have birth and birth and birth and birth. No problem. I want love of God. So it seems, Prabhupada was deviated or what? It seems like that. And many people, that's not my contention. Many people in Vrindavan, they say that. Gaudiya Math people. They were after Prabhupada. They said Prabhupada got deviated. Actually not Prabhupada, but Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He came up with this idea. We have to get out of cycle of birth and death. And all these people at Radha Kund, they were telling Bhakti Vinod Thakur is deviated. Bhakti Sandha is deviated. Prabhupada is like, he's out of the way. He published his magazine, Back to Godhead. We want to get out of birth and death. This is a very lower conception. Release from cycle of birth and death. No. We don't want this. And Lord Chaitanya never taught us this. Lord Chaitanya taught us, Mama Janmani Janmaneshwari. Let me have birth and death, I want you. So there was a fight. And there was a split. There was Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Srila Prabhupada, and there was Sahijyas in Vrindavan, other Sampradaya. And there was fight, there was tensions, still it is there. So what's the solution? Who is right? Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, or those people? Who is right? Who is wrong? Both are wrong? Yeah, how do you harmonize these two things? It's a good question, no? It's a very good question because we have hardly thought about it. But it is the question, and perhaps entire teachings of Srila Prabhupada is based on this fact that we have to get out of cycle of birth and death, no? Back to Godhead, back to Godhead. And here we have Lord Chaitanya, no. So how do you harmonize both things? Can anybody tell me? How do you harmonize these two facts?
I'm fairly new to the idea of Krishna consciousness.
That's okay.
However, so far in the classes I've been listening.
Have you understood my question?
Yes.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah.
It seems so far that it has very much to do with the perspective of one who is experiencing life. So that on one hand, one can say that an unended cycle of repeated birth and death is very different than the idea of returning to Godhead. However, if you look at it from the perspective of God, everything always remains within the control of God, the control of Godhead, the control of Krishna. So that from that perspective, if one aligns himself, then there is really no separation between the two. We all stay within the confines of God's control.
So fine. But I want some clear-cut answer. That's okay. Is there some clear-cut answer? It's not as clear as it should be, no? It should be clear. Oh, yeah, we have room.
I would just say that, the freedom from any desires, the gopis didn't really have particular desires other than whatever Krishna wanted. So the sentiment of a devotee that goes back home, back to Godhead, is not one that wants to go back home, back to Godhead, but simply wants to serve Krishna in whatever capacity.
No, that's what I'm asking. Like, but then why Srila Prabhupada is saying, you know, so, we are follower of gopis? So
I'm saying that the two angles are harmonized that way.
How?
Because the sentiment of a devotee is mama damani damani jamanishvare, okay, you know, birth after birth. So, a pure devotee is willing to do devotional service, whether in the material world or the spiritual world.
Oh, but then why does Prabhupada say we want to get out of cycle of birth and death? Lecture after lecture. He could have just...
That particular consciousness is beyond the cycle of birth. I mean, the consciousness of those who are on the spiritual platform, that is their consciousness, is that they're not there.
So why does Prabhupada say like that? That's my question. Why does Prabhupada say? Prabhupada would have made it clear, pretty clear, you know. You don't pray, it's your consciousness. But Prabhupada doesn't say that. Prabhupada says, no, you have to get out. Cycle, just get out. Prabhupada always in conversations, get out of cycle of birth and death. Prabhupada never said that. What Lord Chaitanya said. Birth after birth. In one or two lectures he said, but not overall. Why? Yeah.
Well, I think both are right.
That's
yeah,
okay.
And because Prabhupada said we have to go back to the God. Once you go to the God, you don't need to return back to the material world. If you come this material world, then only you make some lilas, you know. You never be in the affected with the material nature. So once you come again after returning back to the Godhead, if you return back again, if you have many lives and lives, but you will have only love of the God. Material life won't affect you much because you are the.
No, but this is not. But this doesn't answer my question, no.
Well, I'm just saying, you know. Yeah. For example, Prabhupada told We have to go back to the Godhead.
Why he is telling this? My question is this. Why he is telling we have to go back to Godhead when Mahaprabhu is saying, I don't want to go? That's my question. Simple question.
Yes. I'm trying to explain you. Because we forgot about the Godhead and everything, and we have to go to the Godhead and back to the Godhead. So it's the ultimate goal of our life. And Chaitanya Prabhu told, Mama Janmani Janmani Sare Bhata Bhakti Rahayati Kitwai. It means whenever he gets birth, how many births he can get, he wants the only love of the God. So once you already back to the Godhead, if you return back again, you have a love always.
But this is not
so
good, no?
You are not affected from the material world.
But then once you go back and then come back and then that will be...
Because you are just having the God and you say...
The point is, what about us? We have not gone back to Godhead, so this teaching doesn't...
Once we also be liberated, so
before that, this teaching is not applicable?
Hmm?
Before that, what about this teaching is not applicable before we are liberated?
So what is the question?
I'm saying before we are liberated, this contradiction will always remain contradiction for us or what? Only after liberation we can harmonize these things. Huh? That you mean to say that?
Well,
then that's not a good idea because... Okay, well, that's okay. This is not so clear. Okay, the idea is, I'll tell you the idea. Idea is, of course, both are correct. We have to accept it, both are correct. Because none can be wrong. Our point is to harmonize. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur answers this question. He raises this question. And he answers this question. He has written a commentary on Shishtashtakam, which is called a Sanmodhan Bhashya. And he raises this question, and this is I was in a confusion, you know, when I read this. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, well, yeah, we have to get out of cycle of birth and death. No questions. Why? Because birth and death is an obstacle to the path of devotion. No? It is an obstacle. Whatever is an obstacle on the path of devotion, we have to get rid of it. I'll finish this. Pratikula Varjanam. But the point is, Mahaprabhu is praying to Krishna. When it comes to prayer, things change. Our idea is to get out of birth and death. And Mahaprabhu is very intelligent. He knows that if we get love of God, automatically we'll be released from birth and death. So why to waste a prayer? He doesn't want to waste a prayer. When you're praying to God, you can't speak 1.001% more, 0.001% less. He is God. We are fools. We can speak anything. We come and speak anything. But when you're really interrogating with Him, you have to be exact and precise. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, okay, fine. Okay, my aim is liberation. But why do I ask for liberation from Krishna? Why do I want to get out of cycle of birth? And why should I ask Him? Let me ask Him about love. Give me love. And automatically I will be liberated from birth and death. And that is why He says, Krishna, no problem. I can be birth after birth in this life. But give me love. Krishna says, okay, I give you love. And then once you get love, Krishna can't leave you back here. Even if you want to stay here, He will not leave you. He will say, okay, come back. I can't live without you. So that is genius. That is, devotee is so intelligent. That was the idea of Mahaprabhu. Philosophy is release from birth and death. Prayer is, Krishna, no problem. Just give me love. Just give me love. And I know that I'll be released from birth and death. That's the idea. That's the idea of Lord Chaitanya. That is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. This is very intelligence. So, the urgency to have love is greater than the urgency to get released from this world. And because if we are thinking of release from birth and death, we'll never be released. If we are thinking of love of God, liberation is in our hands. That is what also Prabhupada says, no? That is how devotee prays. So there's a difference between how you think, how you pray. You should always remember. You think in a particular way, You pray in a particular way, no? So, yes, we understand. Suppose you have a girlfriend and you think, oh, she is beautiful, I want to marry her. And when you talk to her, you don't tell her, I want to marry you. You tell her, I don't know, America, maybe something else, you know. Oh, I like you. Let's go to some place. And some other thing, you know. You don't say directly. You talk indirectly. And then it is understood, oh yeah, this female wants to marry me. So this is how we should know how to talk with Krishna. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us, how to talk with him. So a devotee doesn't, because Krishna will not wait for us. Krishna is a very impatient person. If you do nectar of devotion, he's very impatient. You know this? You have seen Vrindavan, what Krishna is doing? He's not in one place. He's playing football, that's what I'm saying. He's playing ball with his friends. He's running there, he's running here. Even Yashodama cannot control him. So in Vaikuntha, he is very patient. He is sense-controlled. But in Vrindavan, he doesn't have sense control. He has renounced his sense control. Let me tell this. That is his renunciation. So to talk to him, you have to be precise, quick, and fast. And you have to pray to him so that he becomes happy. Our idea of prayer is to make him happy. That's the idea. Our idea of prayer is not to just pray. No, that is devotion. So we have to pray in such a way so that he becomes happy. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed like that. So this is called as parokshva. This is called as indirect talking. You see? Indirect talking. If you want to please somebody, you can tell them, okay, fine, I want to, I like you, you can tell somebody. But at the same time, if you want to please them, you can tell, your eyes are beautiful, your lips are beautiful. And that, then they get more pleased, no? Instead of saying, I like you. So that's how you solve the contradiction. So that's what Mahachaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Our need of soul is love. Our aim of life is liberation. You understand? Now it harmonizes. All acharyas, they said, aim of life is liberation. Okay, good. Mahaprabhu said, I'll not contradict Ramanuja, Madhva. But I say, need of life is love. Because if you get love, you get liberation automatically. You are yourself. So that is love. But the question is, what is love? That's the need of life. That means we can't live without love. A soul will die. How do you define love? What is love? None of the acharya has given a definition for love. Nobody, previous to Lord Chaitanya. He comes, and through his devotee Rupa Goswami, he gives a definition of love. It's difficult to define love, isn't it? If you ask somebody, what is love, what do you say? What do you say for that, what is love? Many people will say, oh, love is hearts, something, you know. Only heart can understand what is love. But mind, you can't understand love, no? That's a usual answer. It is a sentiment. It is feelings. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I can define love for you. And that was a revolution in history. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a revolutionary. If you read history, many academic scholars, they write, he brought revolution. You know what kind of revolution? He was a first politician in history. You thought he is just a dancer and he is just a devotee of Lord. No, he was a first politician in history who actually destroyed, who revolted against that time Mughal rule. Not by politics, not by something conspiracy, just by dancing. He finished Mayavad. He finished control of Nawabs and all those things simply by dancing. Which politician can do that? Tell me. No politician can do that. He'll be just making policies. My brothers, forget it. I'll dance and I'll finish them. So his dancing was not just dancing. He's not dancing like mad. His dancing has... He's very intelligent. He's Krishna, no? Krishna is always... He knows. He's always... He was always politically minded, no? Krishna. In Mahabharata, you see... He did so many things. He cheated many people. and he spoke lies, Krishna. He stole clothes of gopis, and then he cheated Dhritarashtra. Krishna did so many bad things. What is Krishna bad? No. If Krishna does bad things, it will be good for us. That is he. Whatever he does, it will be good, even if it is bad. So in the mind of Krishna, he doesn't have to think good or bad. He thinks I'll do, and it will be good. We have to think what is good and bad. Because sometimes when we do bad, it is always bad, but when we do good, it becomes bad. For us, it's like that. So in Lord Chaitanya, when he was dancing, he thought, okay, fine, you know, why to argue with Mayavadis? Why to argue with them? I'll simply dance. And just by his dancing, entire Mayavad was crushed. Simply by his dancing, Mayavad, Prakashanand Saraswati, he told, there was one a big Mayavadi. He said, okay, fine. He's a sannyasi, he's dancing. Why he's dancing? Why he's weeping, you know? The job of sannyasi is to read Vedanta and be serious. Mahaprabhu said, okay, fine. To dance, by his dancing, what he was doing, he was trying to show what kind of love a devotee experiences when he serves Krishna. It is not dance only. It is an expression of love. The love which Prahlad Maharaj, with Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, they used to experience in their heart, it was never manifested. Nobody showed it. They were in Samadhi. That's all. Nobody could see what's happening inside. So I was told, okay, fine, nobody can understand what Samadhi, and Mayavadis then speculate. In Samadhi you become one with God. I'll show them what is that. And that was his dancing. So his dancing is love. It is an expression of love. It is actually love, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is embodiment of love. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. And then he told, okay, fine, I can also define what is love. Can anybody define what is love? Can anybody tell what is love? Our need of life is love, no? Love of God. What is the definition of love? If you don't know the definition, then it will be difficult to achieve the goal or the need. We should know exactly what is love. What do you mean by love of God? Anybody can define it? Oh, okay, yeah. I can accept. Yeah, this is good. This is what Rupa Goswami says. Your main goal is to please? Okay, fine. But I can argue back, just for the sake of argument, that our goal is also to please our beloved, everybody of us. But I don't have love. I don't know about you. So then, the definition of love is falls short, no? Because the definition of love, so there's a problem in this definition. That's why I want to ask, what is the definition? According to that definition, everybody should have love of God, but we don't have. So what do you do? So can any other definition? Definition of love includes us now, but it should exclude us because we are not in love. So what to do?
What to do?
Oh, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Ask Krishna
to
give love.
I want to. Krishna will ask you first. Define love, then I'll give you. he likes clarity.
He likes simplicity too.
He likes to know definition. Chaitanya Prabhu likes to know definition. You define, and then qualifications, and I'll give you love. Krishna can tell. Krishna can argue. What you were doing in ISKCON so many years? You're talking about love. But you didn't know definition of love? No. You go back again and learn. He can tell that, no? He can tell or not? Yes or no? He can tell anything.
Everything.
Yeah, he can do anything. So there's a possibility of that. Let us seal that possibility. We want to be sure. We want to go back to him. He can also take back. He can also take us back without asking this question. But if he does, then we should be ready. Because he has given us this definition for us to know. So, yeah, that's what I'm asking. What is definition of love? We have been talking about love so many years, but how do you define it? It's important to know, no? The point is, if we want to attain love of God, if we are too whatever we want to get, we should be so much absorbed in it. We should know about it, A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z, everything, no? That is called absorption, isn't it? So we have to be absorbed. Okay, I want to get love. What is love? I want to know everything about love. And let's start with definition. That's the idea. That's what Chaitanya Prabhu did through Rupa Goswami. So any ideas? What is love of God? We need love of God. At least everybody is unanimous. We need love of God, isn't it? Everybody is unanimous with that, no? Okay.
Just two words, selfless service.
But then that same problem. This definition includes us. We are also selflessly serving, no? But we don't have love. I want a definition which will exclude us because we don't have love. You understand the problem here? This is a definition of devotion, service, devotion, but not love. So, very simple, basic question.
You can ask everything to God, so.
Leave Krishna. I'm asking what is definition of love. It's my question. Okay.
I say that it's an unconditional desire to please Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, under all
circumstances. The same thing. We are also doing the same thing. No? We are also doing the same thing, but we don't have love. What do you do with that?
When you're serving Krishna,
with love? And then I have a definition of love. No, I don't want this. I want definition. This is okay. But I want definition. This is science. Prabhupada says this is science. That is the legacy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was different from all other acharyas. Lord Chaitanya's mission was to define everything. That is why he is called Namo Mahavadaniya. You have heard this, no? Most magnanimous avatar. Why is magnanimous? Because he has given... So not because he has given a process which is only easy. He has given a very difficult process, but in an easy way. It is not easy to chant, we all know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It seems, but it's not easy. So this is very difficult. Chanting was done by Paramahamsas. This process which we are doing, it was done by liberated souls. This is the process of liberated souls. Chanting and dancing. You read Bhagavatam? Paramahamsa, what's that first verse? Paramahamsa Shastram. Bhagavatam is Shastra for liberated souls. And because liberated souls, they don't have any rules, regulations to follow, they simply chant and dance in ecstasy. For people like us, ideally the process should be rules and regulations, rituals, like other sampradayas. It should be like that, no? But Mahaprabhu said, okay, you take this. But then he gave such a process, such a high process to such people like us who are low, such a low platform. But along with that, he also explained us everything, defined us. Defined to us, okay, this is this, this is this, this is this, so that scientifically we can understand, follow it and achieve it. That is his uniqueness. So, okay, so love, how do you define? Rupa Goswami defines love in Nectar of Devotion. He says, Hirdi Chitta Marsneya. He says, love is, okay, before I give definition of Rupa Goswami, Vallabhacharya gives definition. That's superb. Vallabhacharya says, love is a stage when you can always remember that God is remembering you. That is love. That is love. At our stage, we are remembering Krishna, but we have no idea whether Krishna is remembering us. We have no idea of that. But at the stage of love, we will be able to remember Krishna, but we will be able to always remember and always be conscious of this fact that Krishna is conscious about us. You understand? That is Krishna consciousness. Perfection of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness starts with being conscious of Krishna. That is our stage. But it ends with love. That we are always conscious that Krishna is conscious of us. You will be able to be 100% sure. You will always feel in your heart, you will always know that God is remembering me. That's not happening with us, no? That's not happening with us. That is love. The day that happens, that is love. And you see, this is Vallabhacharya's definition. And that is what Mahaprabhu also defines like that. Mahaprabhu says, Hirdi Chitta Marsneya. When the heart melts, that is love. But then what do you mean by melt? Melt doesn't mean, no, it will come out, and it doesn't mean like that. The heart is there. But what is the meaning of melting? So Mahaprabhu defines further. Okay, fine. What do you mean by melting of heart? When you get love, your heart melts. And melting of heart means that you get intense desire, intense eagerness to meet Krishna. That's the meaning of melting of heart. Our heart is now like a stone. Is it? At least my heart. It's like a stone. Probably more harder than a stone. How do I know that my heart is like a stone? It's simple. I have been chanting for 20 years, but no tears. Nothing happens. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Nothing happens. This proves that our heart is stone. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, oh my dear Lord Krishna, I'm sure my heart is stone. Because if I would have chanted your names, and if my heart was not like a stone, my eyes would be full of tears. I would have fainted. I would have died. The fact I'm not dead, this means I don't love you. So at the time of love, this is another symptom of love. If you have love, you will die. You got my point? You will die. Or you will curse yourself. That why I am not dead? How can I live without Krishna? You will not be happy. You will not be happy. You will be happy because you have got love. But you will be sad that you are still alive without Krishna. How can we be alive without Krishna? If we can entertain this thought that, okay, I am okay without Krishna, then this means we don't have love. Simple. Simple, we don't have love. Love cannot tolerate separation. That's love. Cannot tolerate separation. Just like Sita Devi. Sita was there in Sri Lanka. Lord Ram was separated from him. And Sita Devi, she was not eating. She was not talking. She became weak. And she was simply waiting for Lord Ram. That's all. So, and she showed like that. It is said by one of the great poets, Kavi Karnapurna Das. He is one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. He has written in his poem that a devotee cannot live without love, and love cannot live without separation. They both go together. So heart will melt. Melt means Mahamichhatum Dhananjaya. The day when you get a desire to meet Krishna, the day when you cannot live without him, the day when you cannot entertain any possibility of living without him, and the day when you can always remember that Krishna is waiting for you, Krishna is remembering you every moment, then we can be sure that we have got love. Nice definition, no? This is perfect. This is why we worship Lord Chaitanya. This is why we tell Lord Chaitanya is Namo Mahavadaniyaya. That's why we glorify him. So we have to understand what he has given us. And then we will have true appreciation. Because there is one devotee, Jagdanand Pandit. And he is disciple, of course, Mahaprabhu. One of the associate. And he has quoted in his book, Prem Vivarth. He said, Gaura, Gaura bole chalena. Simply speaking, Gaura Gaura doesn't help. Only Gaura Achar, Gaura Vichar. You have to accept the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and you have to learn from his actions. Vichar and Achar. And then you see, then you speak Gaura. And a voice will reach Gaura. He's here. You know, by the way, what's the meaning of this posture like this? And then we tell? Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yes. Oh. That's why Prabhu was always known as Radha.
Okay, that's okay. Is there anything else? Because I mean to say, Nityanand Prabhu is also maybe raised. He's not raising hand here, but he generally raises his hand. But there's one deep significance to it. Anything? One word. Can you give one word? Why he's raising his hand like that? Surrender, yeah, you can tell surrender. Like Draupadi, she was raising her hands. Like this. But Lord Chaitanya came...
Huh? Everything comes through above.
See, you know what? Surrender and this conception, everything comes from above. They are very low conceptions. According to Lord Chaitanya. He has come to give us highest conception of devotional service. So what he has come to give us? He is teaching us by his posture. He always teaches. God, even if God blinks, there will be a teaching behind that. That is God, no? So when Bhishpitama was there, we all know in Bhagavatam, when Krishna was fighting, Bhishma was there in front, and then Bhishma took a vow, I will kill Arjuna today. No questions. That's all. Clean sweep. So, Krishna, he took the wheel and he ran towards Bhishma. And then his cloth fell down on the earth. He was having a cloth here. It fell down. And we might think, okay, that's okay. How does it matter? That cloth just slipped. But no, I'm giving you an example. Even if anything related to God that has a meaning. So when that cloth fell down, Krishna did that purposefully. He wanted that. He was giving solace to Mother Earth by making his cloth fell down. That Mother Earth, don't fear, because Mother Earth was very fearful. Today, a devotee and his master, they are confronting each other. It never happened, no? They are about to kill each other, devotee and God. So the point is, yeah, he's teaching us something. Is there one word for this posture? What is teaching? Why is it like this? You know, if you go to Bengal, Godmandal, there are many deities with many postures of Lord Chaitanya. There are different postures, no? Just like you have some deities like this, some like this also. Isn't it? Gaudiamath, if you go. Is it like that? So the meaning of this posture is just one word. One word. He's teaching us one thing. Separation. That's all. He's feeling separation from God. Oh my Lord Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. That's the point. It is, this conception is way beyond surrender. Surrender is okay. Is there. No problem. This is separation. He's teaching us separation. So, yeah. That's what I was telling. Love without separation has no meaning. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us love. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in purports, again and again. Prabhupada has quoted this in his small books, Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. I think in Matchless Gift also. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us love in separation. We all know. Vipralam Bhav, he has come to give us. And he's showing us by his actions like that. So that is love. And we have to attain it somehow or the other. Before death, we should be there. If we are not there, we are going to get another birth. Simple. As simple as that. So Gaura Achar, Gaura Vichar. We have to understand what he's speaking. We have to understand what he's doing. And then we have to chant Gauranga. Then it makes sense. Then he'll listen. Otherwise, suppose for example, if you don't listen to my lecture, and after the lecture you come and say, Prabhu, yeah, you're so nice. Thank you for coming. Then what I'll think? I'll think, come on, you know. You don't hear me. And you're simply flattering me? No? That's flattering, no? So without understanding his thoughts and his actions, it's your praise is flatter. That's what he perceives like that. That is the same with Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we say Jai Srila Prabhupada. Our idea is to Prabhupada Achar and Prabhupada Vichar. That's what the idea is. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter, I think, I don't know exactly, I just forgot to whom he wrote a letter, but he wrote a letter to one of the GBC member. He wrote that, see, if I tell you something, if you don't follow, then you'll fall down. And then Prabhupada continues. Prabhupada says, well, you say, my mercy is there. Devotees say, no, it's Prabhupada's mercy. And even if we trip for some time, Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada said, you say it's my mercy. Prabhupada said, no, if I tell you, don't put a razor on your neck. If you put the razor, you will cut your neck. And if you still do it, you will cut your neck. My mercy cannot save you from that. Prabhupada gives this example. His mercy is there in form of his instructions and his life, his actions. He taught us. Same with all acharyas. And we have to now imbibe it. That's all. To the degree a person has imbibed, to that degree he's elevated. He's near love. Chaitanya Prabhu says, Jai bhaje, sei bad. Who is advanced? That person is advanced who has imbibed achar and vichar. That's how we judge advancement in devotional life. So, okay, fine. We have defined love now. Fine. That's a good idea. By the way, what's the time?
30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, journey is long, you know. We have just defined love. We have to attain love now. So I think we should get a lot of time now. Okay, so fine, love. So after defining love, at least we are pretty sure we don't have love. That was the benefit of defining love, no? Before defining love, we thought, might be we have some love, might be some shadow of love, some 2% love. After defining love, we are absolutely sure we don't have love. We are not even near to that. We can't even think of Krishna. How to think that he's thinking about us? How to do that? Even we can't even conceive of this idea that to think that God is thinking about me. We can't do that, those things. So we are not even near to that. Now the question comes, how to attain it? Because there's a tendency to think that I have at least some love for Krishna. Some, at least 0.01%. But we don't have. We don't have. What we are experiencing now. Now, fine. When you do devotion, you're experiencing bliss. Of course, everybody feels happy. That's no question. We feel happy. But that happiness is not love. That happiness is not even shadow of love. That happiness is a grace marks given by Krishna. Okay, this is some bliss for you. To keep you enthused. To go towards your goal of life, your need of life, love. That's not love. We should not confuse. We should also not confuse that whatever bliss I am getting, that is due to my devotion. No, it doesn't happen like that. Our devotion cannot bring any happiness. First of all, what kind of devotion we are doing? At least me, what we are doing? We are doing nothing for Krishna, no? Isn't it? What we are doing? Nothing. Krishna has two lists in his book. On one side he has our names. On other side he has names of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. And he opens a book and he sees, oh yeah, good. But then when he sees, oh, what they are doing? What we are doing in comparison to them? So we don't do anything. We have not done anything. But yet, in spite of not doing anything for Krishna, in spite of always taking obligement from him, in spite of just taking from him, still Krishna will give us happiness because he wants to keep us enthusiastic, that's all. So that we continue, not that we are qualified. Just like to children, just like small kids, you know, we say. So when small kids, they will do some work, we'll say, very nice, Very nice. And we know, you know, as a small child, you know, it's a nonsense. He has just messed it up, but still we'll say. Very nice. So that he doesn't cry. He keeps on going. No, it happens, no? So it happens with everybody. You know small kids. So when they'll write something, 1, 2, 3, and you know he has messed it up, but you will say, no, good, nice, continue. Why do you say? Because you don't want to make him sad and leave everything. That's the same thing with Krishna. Krishna knows we are kids and we always mess up. We don't do anything constructive. We largely mess up his plans. You know, he makes a plan, we mess it up. He makes another plan, we mess it up. But still Krishna says, oh, very nice. Good. I'll give you bliss. And we think that Krishna is happy with us and we did a great thing and that's why we are feeling happy. But it's not like that. We should not think like that. Where is Krishna and where are we? We have to understand this. Jiva Goswami says in one of his poems, Krishna, where are you and where am I? There's no match. There's absolutely no match. Even of thinking there's match, even of thinking this question there's no match, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense for that. That is humbleness. That is humbleness. If we are truly humble, we will understand this thing. So the bliss we are getting, that's a gift from Krishna. That's a grace mark from Krishna. That is nothing to do. That's not love. We are nowhere there. But we have to attain love. That's the necessity. Otherwise we are coming back. How to attain love? There's a process for that. There's a process. And Mahaprabhu defines that. You can't do anything and yet attain love. It's not like that. There's a procedure. Systematic procedure. And what is that procedure to attain Krishna? Oh, what's happening? So the procedure is called as sadhana bhakti. You have heard this term, sadhana bhakti, everybody? We are practicing some things to attain love of God. What is that practice? Rupa Goswami defines what is practice. So generally people think we'll do some puja, we'll chant some names, hear some lecture, and we'll attain love of God. No. We have to follow some things properly. It's a science. What is a science? Kriti sadhe bhavet sadhe bhava sa sadhana vidha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, fine, through Rupa Goswami. What is that practice? Kriti sadhya. Kriti means do something. Do something for God. Don't keep on taking from him. Give him. Give him. Leave your habit. Leave your disease of taking. Don't take. Always we have been taking, no? So general people, they come to temple and they take. They want, Krishna, give me mercy. Krishna will give. That's okay. But you're still diseased. You're not get rid of your disease. Okay, Krishna. Just like you have come to class, this class. So why you have come? To learn something, isn't it? To take knowledge, but nevertheless we are taking, no? I am giving, but you are taking. And then we come to Sunday program. Okay, Prashad, you take. We are taking everything. But Krishna will not see what you are taking. Krishna will see what you gave him. He'll not see what you are giving. He'll see what you have kept. He is very tricky. You can't trick him. And if we try to trick him, he has another. He will prove from scriptures that you are wrong. He can do that. So yeah, we have to get rid of this habit of taking. We have to always meditate how much I gave Krishna. Because you don't need to ask him. He will anyway give. His nature is to give. Our nature is to take. That's why we are here. The moment we change our nature from taking to giving, we'll be back there. Simple. That is what Krishna says. Anybody who becomes perfect, he attains to my nature. No? He says in Bhagavad Gita, liberation, you attain to my nature. My nature means I like to give. My devotees also like to give. So, we all are here now. After this, there'll be prasadam. Don't take. Give. Give. Don't be interested in taking. Don't sit and take. Go, okay, fine. I want to give devotees. That's a very good spirit. So that is why Bhakti Sanda Saraswati Thakur, he used to ask, after prasadam, he used to ask people, okay, who sat down to take prasadam and who was giving, who was serving? Who sat down the last? He used to ask. And the person who sat down the last, he used to say, he is the first to go back to Krishna. Because he likes to give. He doesn't like to take. So that is where a practice of devotion begins. First we have to understand kriti sadhe. Do something. Yeah. Get rid of this disease. Give. Give. Be in mood of giving. Even if you take something, just like now you're taking, take it to give it back. So you're taking knowledge. What do you do? Take this knowledge and give it to others. That is why Mahaprabhu said, do preach. Standing order is to preach. Jare dekho tare kaho. Krishna Upadesh, wherever you see, you preach. Because Chaitanya Prabhu knew, if we don't give to others, our disease will increase. Even if we keep on hearing lectures. We might think we are becoming Krishna consciousness by hearing. You will become Krishna consciousness to a certain extent, but you don't become perfect. Because the attitude is always taking. Got my point? So it's not bad to hear. Keep on hearing. That's life. But after hearing, give to others. Preach. No problem. Whatever you learn, say. If there's nobody, talk to your dog. America, there are dogs. So, yeah. Okay. My dear puppy, this is what I heard today. And if there's no dog, talk to walls. If there's no walls, at least there's sky. Talk to sky. If there's no sky, what to do? Talk to earth. You're standing there. If there's no earth, if there's nothing, you can talk to yourself. At least that you can. And you will be there always. You can preach to yourself. Simple. Vamsiyas Babaji, he used to preach to himself. There was one devotee, Vamsiyas Babaji. He used to tell himself, okay, Vamsidas, you have to understand, you have to surrender to Krishna. He is talking to himself. You can preach to yourself. So, while sleeping, you can preach to yourself. Okay, Keshavanand, now I have something to tell you. Hear attentively. You can give a lecture to yourself in your mind. You know what? Newton used to do that. Newton, everybody knows Newton, of course. You might not know Ramanujacharya, but Newton is here, you know, people know. He's famous. So he used to preach to himself. Nobody used to hear to him because he was pretty complex in his explanations. You know, people not coming, you know. And he was thinking much ahead. So he was alone in the class, but he used to go nevertheless, speak to walls and then speak to himself. That's a habit of genius. If you want to become genius, of course we don't want to really become genius, but we want to become genius. Everybody wants to become genius? Yes or no? Yeah, why? You don't want to become genius, you know why, sir? Yes or no? Okay. Do you want to become famous? Yes or no? 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 I would say yes. I want to become world famous. I want to become famous in the entire universe. You know why? Because if we become famous, then who becomes famous? Krishna. Because people will ask, who is he? Who he belongs to? Then we can proudly say, I belong to Prabhupada, I belong to Krishna. That is the best method to glorify Prabhupada. That's the best method. Epe jas ghushuk tribhuvana. Prabhupada cannot be glorified simply by words, simply by doing so many things. Prabhupada can be glorified if you become a pure devotee. Prabhupada always said, and if you become famous, you want to become famous for Krishna. So we want to become genius so that people get impressed by us, no? We want to impress people. So and when people become impressed, then they say, okay, who are you? Then we'll tell them we are servant of Krishna. And Krishna is more genius than me. So you go and bow down in front of him. Then people will bow down. You know, these materialistic people, they're like that. For materialistic people, if you're humble, you're a fool. Got my point? They don't care for humbleness. You have to be humble within the temple. Prabhupada said that. Be a lamb in the temple, be like a lion outside. No, No, this is exact. This is exact quotation. Yeah. So outside, you have to show them. See, you are not. We are far more intelligent than you guys. We have to show them. You are nothing. And then they will say, oh, yeah, we respect you. And if we tell them, my dear sir, I don't know anything. I actually don't know, and you know many things. They'll say, oh, okay, good. They'll exploit you. This happens, no? If outside you are humble, they'll exploit you. Simple. Simple as that. So you don't have to be humble outside. Forget that. Humble inside. Inside, you have to be humble. Prabhupada was like that. Within devotees, he was very humble, but outside, like he was like a lion. He was saying, no, you are rascals, you are nonsense. And his god brothers, they were thinking, but Prabhupada is not humble. But they didn't really understand that humbleness is not to be exposed. It is there within the community of devotees. Our idea is not to actually become humble. Our idea is to please Krishna, not exactly to become humble. We are trying to become humble to please him. But if our humility obstructs in pleasing Krishna, we are also ready to abandon humbleness.
What kind of humility could obstruct pleasing Krishna?
Yeah, it pleases, no? This example, if I go out and if I tell to all these, hate Ashbury Street, we went that today because Prabhupada was there, we just went. And if you tell people, see, I don't do anything, I'm a useless person, please give blessings, then you know what they'll do? They'll say, yeah, you fool, nonsense, get lost. You're good for nothing, you don't do anything. They'll mess us up. So, good qualities have no value in this age. Is it? They have no value. If you're simple, you're stupid. Outside?
I think there may be a difference between debasing oneself and humbling oneself.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much. But if you're humble outside, nobody cares. You have to be smart.
God wants you to be humble.
You have to be...
Yeah. Does not let me go.
So Prabhupada explained, humbleness means courage. That was Prabhupada tell. Humbleness also means courage. Inside devotees, so we are humble, but definitions change. In community of devotees, we are humble, no courage, we are nothing. Outside, courage. Courage to uphold truth. We are humble in front of truth. We always accept truth on our head. That is humbleness. We are opposed to those people who are opposed to truth. That is humbleness. Hanuman was humble. He was killing people. Well, who is more humble than them? So like that. So definition changes. So yeah, we want to become famous. We want to impress people. That's good. This is what is sadhana bhakti. Kriti sadhe. Do something for Krishna. That means kriti. That word is there. Do something. Do something in such a way. Prabhupada said, do the needful. So many times Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada, many times he said, what is the result? No, he always said, give me results. So, yes, so we have to do something, okay. Kriti sadhe bhavet sadhe bhava. But what's the best thing we can do for Krishna? The best thing we can do for Krishna is? Anybody, what's the best thing we can do for Krishna? No. Okay, yeah, okay. The best, huh? Service is a large, within service, what's the best thing you can do for Krishna? Okay, yeah. Best thing we can do is, externally, we can do chanting the holy names of Lord. That's the best thing we can do for Him, chanting holy names. Whatever we are doing here is to chant holy names. That we should remember, always remember. Do something, yes, book distribution, temple construction, management, prasadam, scientific preaching, I do. But everything is there to chant the holy names. That's the idea. Everything goes there. Because sometimes I was telling in, sometimes we forget, no? While doing something, we forget we are doing for chanting. We get so much involved in those things. Our chanting gets compromised. It happens. People who are in ISKCON, they know. Chanting becomes compromised. Compromised means we can chant 16 rounds, but quality, you know, while chanting, we are thinking. So many things. We have to make temple, we have to do this, we have to do this. And our mind rationalizes, well, we are thinking about Krishna. That's service. But that is disservice, because while chanting, you have to think of chanting, not other things, no? All other things we are doing to increase quality of our chanting. So do something, yeah. So do everything, but with an idea that it should be favorable to chant nicely. It's not that we don't have to do all these things. We have to do everything. Book distribution, preaching, with full enthusiasm. But with a goal. Kriti sadhe bhavet sadhe bhava. A goal is to increase quality of chanting. Don't do in such a way that your quality of chanting becomes compromised. And that is why we saw history. Fall downs. Why people fell down. Why? Because the chanting was compromised. Preaching took their time. They didn't think about chanting. Slowly, externally they're chanting, but internally no chanting. And this is pride. This is pride that I can protect myself. No, we can't protect ourselves. This is pride that I can do many services. Even though I don't chant properly, Krishna will accept my services. No, he will not accept. He will not accept. He will accept services only when our chanting is good. He wants chanting. No? He wants holy name. That's why Mahaprabhu has come here. So that is what we have to do for Krishna. We have to keep in mind goal and what we are doing. This is how Rupa Goswami defines. Kriti sadhe bhavet sadhe bhava. This is a very practical definition. Very practical definition. So for example, you are today very busy in service. So for example, today you are busy. You did book distribution. We served prasadam. That's nice. But the next day we get up and we are tired and we can't chant properly. That's okay. And then again you do service. Again you get up in the morning. You are again tired and you can't chant properly. And it keeps on going. Krishna accepts your service? Yes and no. He accepts, but he's not that happy. Our aim and objective is to make him smile, no? That's our aim. We want to see him smiling. That's all. And he is merciful. He accepts everybody's service to help us. If he doesn't accept our service, we are lost. So no matter how many mistakes you do in your service, he will accept it. But our idea is not to just make him accept our services. Our idea is to make him happy. Prabhupada says, make Krishna happy in all respects. Make him smile. And that is why there is a difference between Prabhupada and us. That is why Krishna says, out of millions of devotees, only one will achieve me. So many devotees are serving him. So many devotees are getting mercy of Krishna. But the idea is not to get his mercy. Idea is to make him smile so that he is fully satisfied by us. When he sees us, his heart melts. That is what is love. Love is not to do with our heart melting. Love is to do with melting of Krishna's heart. This is another perspective of doing things. So that's our goal. That's our goal. We have to always remember on practical level, not on theoretical level, that whatever we are doing, please do in such a way that every day your quality of chanting increases. Then that's a good idea. Don't do things in... You can be doing service, but don't do service in such a way that your chanting becomes compromised. Because that can happen. And that is why Rupa Goswami says, Niyamagraha. Rupa Goswami introduces that term, nectar of instruction. Don't follow rules in such a way that you get lost in rules and you forget the aim. So, the most important thing we can do for Krishna is chanting. That's a good idea. That's an external thing. External. Internally, what we can do for Krishna within ourselves. You see, we have two journeys, no? Sadhana bhakti is two journeys. We have two roads. We are walking on two roads. We are not walking on one road. If you think we are walking on one road, that's a problem. Two roads. One is external, one is internal. One is without, one is within. Outside journey, our captain is our spiritual master and other devotees. Inside journey, our captain is super soul. Prabhupada said, Chaitya Guru. And both journeys we make together. It's always parallel. Some people lose themselves in outside journey. They forget about inside journey. And they're lost. Some people are only within. They forget outside thing. And they become sentimental. But we walk on both. We have two legs, two roads. Just walk. We have two eyes, two ways. And Krishna has that's why given us two eyes. To always keep track on external and internal. Externally we have to do, okay, chant. And do service in such a way to chant nicely. To increase our quality and quantity of chanting. Everything we should do. And internally what we should do. In our mind, in our heart. What Krishna wants from us, internally. You told. Yeah, you told. Yeah. Give your mind to. That's what internally you can do. Give your mind to Krishna. But my question is, what do you mean by giving mind to Krishna? That's my question.
Your mind is a source of power.
No, let us see.
When he becomes the focus of you every second of your life, you've already given him your mind. Because everything you do.
Well, okay, fine. Now, if I accept your statement, and if I repeat it here, okay, give your mind to Krishna, and always think of him like that. That's a. But the point is, these people will tell we are not able to do it. So what to do? So is there any practical solution for that?
It's a discipline.
Yeah. How is there any solution to be in that discipline?
I think there might be.
That's my question. Because we can say you do it. See, in ISKCON this happens. No, you practice, you become pure. But how to do that? Nobody figures it out. You become serious. You become so serious. Yes. Table breaks. What to do? So that's what Prabhupada says that. Really, I want some practical answer. Practical. What should I do? Thak. ABCD. Okay. From tomorrow, what should I do? From now, if you say, your answer is okay, but I want a practical answer. From tomorrow, what should I do? Now, you give your heart, you give your mind. Well, I've been listening for 20 years, but what should I do? Bhai, 24 hours I'm chanting, I'm coming to temple. You want to take my life or what? You got my point? Give me something practical solution. What should I do? What do you mean by giving my mind to Krishna? From tomorrow, I'll start doing like that.
You can remember Krishna.
Yes,
you can remember Krishna.
How to remember him? That's the question. Internally. Oh, chant. Yeah, we chant, but even while chanting we can't remember. So we have to increase, do something. Really? They could do it, we can do it? Mataji, see, it is not possible for so many of us. Let's be true, you know. At least for 20 years I am doing, it's very difficult to chant holy name and fix our mind. I don't think so in this life. It's sometimes impossible. Is it? For everybody who is doing, it's not easy. It is easy to chant, but it is difficult to fix the mind. That's okay. So what to do with the mind so that practically we advance? Practically. I want some practical answer. Your answer is okay, theoretically. Perfect. But my whole lecture is practical. I'm a doer, you know, a mover. So, like Damodar Prabhu, Deepak, he's a manager. He knows what I'm talking. Because a manager also confronts this problem, you know. There's so many theoretical answers, but some practical. So what do you say in your management language? Practical things, points to do, like some. So there's some technical word for that, or what? You told me one, I forgot. Okay, fine.
Unpack.
Yeah, this what. So you have to unpack your answer. Yeah, so this is a good technical word. Yeah.
Engage yourself in Krishna service.
What do you have to do with mind? That's what I'm asking. No.
You can clear your mind of things that are impure.
How to do that? That's my question. So what practically should I do? Where is impurity? How to get it out? No? It's difficult, no? It's the theoretical answer. No, I have not realized yet. We have not realized yet. We are not realized. That's the stage I'm talking about.
But we can practice.
Oh, that's that's my question. What practice should I do with mind?
Yoga, yes.
Oh, no, yoga.
If you want to clear your mind, you have to quiet your mind. That might be the only thing.
See, you know what? This is what in America this goes on, you know. These gurus and all these. Quiet your mind, elevate your mind, and all. But practically what to do, nobody figures it out. It looks good. You, understanding it looks good, but what to do, nobody knows. And then, okay, fine, you know, okay, fine. Nothing is happening, just sit. It happens, no? It is happening like that. That is why I read, Prabhupada is genius. Prabhupada, in his books, he has given a practical solution for everybody. That was his specialty. When he came to America, all these new age gurus were there. They were talking hi-fi stuff. But nobody could do anything. Prabhupada came and he told, okay, you do this, do this, do this, do this. Chant Hare Krishna. Follow four regs. Okay, fine. And people knew, okay, I have to do this. And they got elevated. So what about with mind you have to do? I'll give you an answer. Prabhupada says in preface, Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says in preface. Mind, you have to plan. Prabhupada says, do planning. This is the answer of Prabhupada. This, tomorrow you can do. If you want to fix your mind, you have to plan your life. In 1 month, I'll do for Krishna this. In 1 year, I'll do this. Entire life, I will do this. When your mind is planned, your mind is fixed. Your mind is not lost. It's not lost. You know exactly what to do, just like in companies. So, that's how you have to, that's an internal journey. You have to fix your mind planning. And Prabhupada planned, we know. No? Prabhupada always planned. Always planned. He had his diary. He wrote things. He had a plan. Okay. When he was in India, he planned. It will take me 12 years to write Bhagavatam commentary. He had a plan 12 years ahead. He came with his plan. He had a plan, 1 month I'll do this. And he always used to keep his diary, this much funds and whatever. He used to even write when I'm going to sleep, when I'm going to get up. You read Prabhupada's diary. Sunset, sunrise he used to write. No? Everything. That is how great people live. And that is why they are great. We are not great. Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life, it was planned. Every second he knew what he has to do. People used to come to Bhakti Vinod Thakur to match their watches. When their watch used to go wrong, they used to come. And when Bhakti Vinod Thakur used to take breakfast, they used to time their watch 8:10. Because he used to break breakfast at 8:10. 8:10 means 8:10. Bhakti Siddhanta, his life was planned. So planning, yeah. Internal, external journey is chanting. Internal journey is planning. Chanting, doing all services which are favorable to chanting. And internal journey is planning. Keep in mind, that is what Rupa Goswami explains. Kriti sadhe bhavet sadhe bhava sa sadhana vidha. That is the art of practice. And people fall down because of this, precisely because of the two reasons. Anybody who has fallen down, anybody who will fall down, they'll miss these 2 points. Either they'll be so much engrossed in service, their chanting is compromised. Or even if their chanting is not compromised, their internal journey is lost, they don't plan. They're just going. We don't attain love of God. So that's what is sadhana bhakti, according to Srila Prabhupada taught us, Rupa Goswami taught us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. If we follow this, we cannot remain imperfect. It's impossible. But if we don't follow this, we can never attain perfection. That is why I was asking you definitions. Definitions are important, you see, it's important now. Is it? It's important, no? If you're defined, you're clear. If you're clear, you're determined. If you're determined, you're focused. If you're focused, you're enthusiastic. If you're enthusiastic, you keep on going. And you attain your goal. Simple. So, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Thank you very much. Yeah.
What if it doesn't go through your plan? Everything doesn't go through your plan.
No problem. Prabhupada says you plan, rest, leave on Krishna. But we have to do our job. Krishna wants us to plan. You know why Krishna wants us to plan? Krishna can also plan for us now. He can do that, but he will not do. Because he wants us to plan, so that when that plan is successful, he will give you the credit. But if he makes the plan, and if it becomes successful, credit goes to him. And he doesn't like to take credit. He likes to give credit to devotees. So he will say, oh, this is because of you. When you plan and do, he will say, oh, yeah, this is because of you. But anyway, he will be doing in the background everything. But he will make you happy. Oh, this you have done. And in this, Krishna becomes happy. Yes.
You mentioned earlier in your talk, part of your plan is to become famous.
We can think like that.
I have a question on a statistical level, possibly on a mathematic level.
Oh.
Do you think, how would you compare the likelihood of you making Krishna more famous by virtue of your work, or you becoming more famous by virtue of the works of Krishna? Which one do you think is more likely?
Well, nobody can see Krishna. So how do you make Krishna famous by virtue of his work? Nobody can see him. Nobody knows him. And one of the Alvar, one of the Acharyas in South India, one of the great devotees in South India, he was a great devotee. He prayed to Krishna, "Krishna, you are because of me." He said to Krishna like that. He said to Krishna, "Krishna, you are because of me. I can make you, I can destroy you." Because Krishna has given the charge of making him famous to his devotees. He has done that. He will not do anything. So the idea is, if we become famous, if the son becomes famous, father becomes famous automatically. So we want to become famous, but we want to give credit to Krishna. And that's how Krishna becomes famous. There is no other way to do that. How do you do that? And that's why Srila Prabhupada said, I could have stayed in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, no. I could have stayed in Vrindavan under a tree and chanted. But I am coming to America. Prabhupada said to his devotees, "Bring a Rolls Royce for me." Prabhupada said, no. And his Gaudiya Math people, they couldn't understand what Prabhupada is talking. Prabhupada said, no. A devotee of Krishna is famous. And that's the glory of Krishna, not the glory of the devotee. So when we become famous, we'll tell to people that this is not due to my credit. This is not due to because of me. This is because of Krishna. And if you want to become famous, surrender to Krishna. So they'll say, oh yeah, I want to become famous. Okay, come now. Then everybody will come. Okay, come back. One way we can think like that. This is one way we can think like that. Some devotees are humble also. They don't want to become famous. That's okay. But if you want to make Krishna famous, you have to go out and tell people like that what to do. So this is our service to Krishna. It's a risky service. If you become famous, then it can go in mind, no? It can intoxicate the mind. Well, if you do for Krishna, no problem. That's okay. You have to do something. You have to make our father famous. He is not here. Okay, so that's okay. We'll do that. Okay, so any other questions, or I'll just tell this and then finish. We have to finish now. What's the time? Like, it's going on. Okay, yeah, 2 minutes. So I have some books here, and we have some books, yeah. I've written some books. This is one book, Cheaters and the Cheated. Prabhupada said, there's a quotation behind, in Morning Walk, May 8, 1973, and many other places, the modern world is a society of cheaters and the cheated. Unfortunately, the cheated are praising the cheaters, and the small cheaters are worshipping great cheaters. This is a good quotation. So I'm in the service of Prabhupada, I'm showing how Prabhupada is perfect in his analysis. So I'm showing how philosophers, scientists, linguists, historians, corporate, media, everybody is cheating us. What is going behind the scenes? Everybody is cheating us. And we are also cheating ourselves. perhaps. So I'm showing that in this book. There's another book, Mighty Efforts. Whatever I was discussing now, definitions, all these definitions I've defined in this book. So to help devotees, you can take this book, Mighty Efforts. The name is, we have to put efforts until we attain love of God. We should not become lax. It is easy to become lax, but we should be enthusiastic. That will happen only when we are clear of our goals and definitions. And this is the book Crazy Ideas. For we meet so many crazy arguments in preaching, like yoga for health, work is worship. There's so many ideas there. So all those ideas are not correct. We face in preaching, so all those ideas are there, crazy ideas, and anti-arguments with evidences of scriptures are there. And this is one CD, Core Concepts of Devotional Service. This is a CD where whatever I am talking now, it is there in this CD. The core concepts, the concepts which we should know. What is love, for example? How do you define it? What is service? How do you define it? What do you do with mind? What does Prabhupada say? It is all from Prabhupada books, from various quotations of Prabhupada. Sometimes we read Prabhupada books, but we miss the quotations if we read it hastily. Prabhupada has said everything, but to take out that everything, you have to clearly read. So everything is there from evidences of Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Thakur. Core concepts, you can just have it. And then there are many Hindi books. There are some Hindi people here or what? No Hindi people? You're from India, no? You're from India. Okay, there are two books. Guru Kaun ka bahut problem chal rahi hai India mein. So, Guru Kaun hai? Who is Guru? Who is disciple? That's here in this book. This is summary of Bhagavad Gita. Gita Sar ki Talwar, the sword of Bhagavad Gita. All the doubts you'll face in reading Bhagavad Gita, we've solved in this. And there are some CDs, Hindi CDs. You can just have a look at these and take it. And again, thank you very much for listening.